I once found myself in the famous Muir Woods in northern San Francisco. In these woods live trees that grow literally hundreds upon hundreds of feet tall and have trunks wide enough literally to drive a car right through them. A truly majestic, spectacular sight. After a while, I bumped into a park ranger and I struck up a conversation. I turned to him and I asked him, "How old are these trees?" He said some of them were well over 2,000 years old. I was blown away. 2,000 years old. He continued and said, "You want to know something fascinating?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Trees are the only living creatures on Earth that, barring disease or natural disaster, will never die. All living specimens have a pre-programmed end to their lives. Even if they manage to avoid sickness, predators, and natural elements, they will still die. Not true with trees. The trees will live on." So as the park ranger was walking away, I couldn't help but wonder, what makes the tree so different than any other living animal, plant, or specimen? What is it about the tree? What exactly about the tree? Why did Hashem choose it, of all the animals and living organisms, to grant it such phenomenal longevity? So I believe the answer lies in this parsha. The parsha begins with an architectural dilemma. The Jews are instructed by Hashem to build a largely wooden mishkan in the middle of a desert. Now, if you've ever been to a desert, you would know that there's barely enough life for a blade of grass to grow, let alone hundreds of enormous cedar trees. So where did all the wood come from? Rashi, quoting a Medrash Tanhuma, explains, "When Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, he brought with him little saplings and planted them there. And upon his deathbed, he instructed his children to bring these trees out with them into the desert when they left Egypt. And these are the trees from which the Mishkan was built." Now, what an absolutely spectacular lesson. Yaakov hasn't seen his son in 22 years. Yosef was away from him 22 years. One would think he would run down to Egypt in a flurry of euphoria. One would think he would drop everything and anything just to see his long-lost son. Yet no. He remains calm, he sees the big picture, and brings along saplings that will one day build the Mishkan. Out of his sheer, unwavering love of Hashem and his mission in this world, not a moment goes by without him thinking about how he can contribute to further that mission. He does whatever he can do. From the biggest of the big to the smallest of the small, merely bending down and picking up a few saplings wasn't insignificant enough for Yaakov Avinu. What is most amazing is seeing what came out of those few little tiny saplings, innocent little saplings that took Yaakov a whopping 15 seconds to put on his lap on the way down to Mitzrayim, wound up being the very walls of the Mishkan, the holiest building on the face of the earth. Yaakov's genuine love of mitzvos propelled him to seek them out even in a moment of extreme personal joy. His pure, unadulterated love for mitzvahs blossomed into the very trees from which the Mishkan was built. When we demonstrate to Hashem that we don't just do his mitzvahs, we love his mitzvahs, we are sending a very loud message heavenward. We love Hashem, and in turn, he loves us. Ein hashchina shruya ela mitoich simcha shel mitzvah Shabbos daf lamed. Hashem loves us when and only when we live our lives with a love of him and his mitzvos. The very foundation of the Mishkan was built from wood infused with pure love of mitzvos, and it is a lesson to infuse our homes with the same. Many people have the custom to say Al Naras Bavel before they bench during the week. In it, we say something puzzling. Al Naras Bavel, we said at the rivers of Babylon, crying for Yerushalayim that was just destroyed, a group of people that escaped the destruction of Yerushalayim are sitting at the rivers of Babylon. Al aravim b'saycha talinu kinraisenu. Upon the trees we hung our harps. We sat down to rest by the rivers of Babylon, and we hung up our harps on a tree. Now let's take a step back for a second. These Jews just narrowly escaped the utter destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the city of Yerushalayim. Why in the world did they have musical instruments on them? Why were they walking with their harps? If you were to wake up in the middle of the night to the smell of smoke, you would run out of your house as fast as your legs could go. You wouldn't start rummaging through your attic for your old tuba or your dusty clarinet, your trombone, your drum set. Why did these Jews bring along their harps? They were literally rivers of blood running through the streets of Yerushalayim, soldiers going from house to house, slaughtering anybody they could find. Why did these people just pick up and go? Why did they take precious seconds to grab their musical instruments? So Reb Aaron Pernikoff gives a very beautiful answer. He says, these Jews knew the secret moving forward. They knew that Hashem brings his presence down on this world only to people infused with simcha, to people who exude happiness and joy, to people who serve Hashem with enthusiasm. Tachas asher lo yavadata as Hashem lekecha b'simcha. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash came about due to lack of joy, due to lack of enthusiasm, to people who just lived as Jews because their parents, their grandparents, their great-parents lived as Jews. They didn't actually care. They weren't actually enthusiastic. Hence, the rebuilding of Hashem's home on earth must be with joy. If the destruction came due to lack of joy, then the rebuilding must be with joy. The instruments were our tools to bring that joy. We weren't wasting precious seconds getting our harps, getting our tubas. We were getting the very tools necessary to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So after searching high and low for what distinguishes trees from the rest of nature, I decided to look in a holy sefer known as Perek Shira. Perek Shira is an ancient sefer which consists of a list of psukim that encapsulates each and every plant, animal, and creature on the planet. It is the spiritual DNA of those particular creatures. Now, what I found shocked me. The pasuk for the tree is Uz Yirananu Atzei Hayar. The trees rejoiced, for Hashem came down to earth. In the entire Perek Shira, the only reference to a creature that gets up to sing purely out of love of Hashem's existence on earth is the tree. The tree's spiritual DNA is one of standing tall and swaying in song, singing the song of Hashem. Hence, perhaps, they were given longevity. They rejoice for Hashem, so he grants them the long and fruitful ability to do so. Now, in Tehillim, there are times when a paragraph starts Mizmor L'David, and other times it starts L'David Mizmor. Is there a rhyme and reason, or is it all random? So the Gemara in Zvachim explains that any time David HaMelech felt Hashem's presence close by, he would say L'David Mizmor. He would just start saying Tehillim. But when David felt that the presence was far off, there was a disconnect, Hashem was nowhere to be seen, for whatever reason Hashem was staying away, he would muster up his concentration and tell himself, sing, David, sing. He would push himself to sing. He would get up and dance. He would stand up on a chair and he would sing, and only then was he able to say Tehillim. It is the only way to bring Hashem close. We are all on the road of life. Some people walk the road, others dance it. If we live our lives not merely doing mitzvos, but thrilled while doing so, we too can merit having Hashem in our lives. If we looked at mitzvos the same way Yaakov did, we too would bring Hashem into our lives. The story of Yaakov reminds us that even the smallest looking mitzvah can one day turn out to be the very walls of the Mishkan. Some people look at their homes as just that. Homes, a place where we eat, we sleep, and we eat again. Other people look at their homes as a mishkan, a place that permeates holiness, a place that is infused with happiness, a place where Hashem feels welcome. Man is compared to a tree in Devarim Chaf Aleph Yud Tes. Adam Eitz HaSadeh. In what way is a man compared to a tree? Perhaps the same way a tree can live forever, so too a righteous, joyous, God-fearing man or woman lives forever. The impact he has on himself, the impact he has on his family, the impact he has on the world around him lasts forever. He lives for infinity. His mitzvahs become concretized in a modern-day mishkan that shines forever. Like the tree, we have deep roots that take nourishment from those that came before us. Like the tree, we have a strong backbone. Like the tree, we are forever growing upward, but most importantly, Like the tree, we softly sway back and forth, singing the praises of Hashem, and therefore, like trees, we live for eternity.